Good morning, everybody. Good morning. All right. We are going to get started. New series today. I noticed I didn't see anybody like getting up out of their chairs and really getting animated, acting these things out. So I'm going to have to give better. I'm going to give better instructions on charades at a later time. We'll have to try that again. How did that work out? I know you guys didn't do it because you did one. Did who was guessing? Did you guess?
I was guessing.
You figured it out? Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I had to put on the. I didn't put it on the sheet, but it was in my notes. It said your one of the slips was like your favorite activity together, and my notes it said keep it clean. So that's the intimacy talk. That's later on down the road. We're not there yet. That's typically in the spring. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, we're starting a new series today, as you can see. You like my birds?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are from Brazil, and I love those birds because they're always in pairs, and they mate for life, which is kind of cool. So anyway, and they're beautiful, so that's why I picked that picture. So Better Together, that is the name of our series, and the whole gist of the discussion that we're going to have over the next several weeks is that there is a truth, and the truth is that we are, as husband and wife, we are better together, right? That we're better together. Although that it's difficult to cultivate togetherness, we'll talk about what that is in its various aspects. Although it's difficult to cultivate it, it's difficult to maintain it over time, it still is true that we are better together. And I know that if you're here and or if you're online or if you're watching this sometime in the future and your marriage is not in the best place and you're not feeling very together, you might think that this isn't true, right? You might think, well, actually, I think life would be more simple and I'd be better off by myself. You would be mistaken. That is not true. You might also be sitting here going, well, the Apostle Paul said that if you're not married, then don't get married, right? The Apostle Paul said it's better to be single. Yes, well, okay, that's fine. There's a whole bunch of contextual errors in that interpretation there that I won't get into right now if that's how you're interpreting that passage. And the other thing is it really doesn't matter in your case because of two things. Number one, you are married already, right? And God is sovereign. And when you put those two things together, then you are exactly where God intends for you to be, right? Married. So the question here isn't what's better. It's not a comparison between singleness and marriedness, if that's a word. I think it is. It's actually a comparison between being married and essentially living disconnected lives together, and being married and in a practicing togetherness, right? Oneness in marriage, living an interconnected married life together. So those are the two things that we're comparing. And so why? Why are we better together? That's kind of where we want to start off today. And it's sort of the why and the how are we better together? In what ways are we better together? So I'm going to go through a number of ways that I've pulled out of scripture. And then what I hope is that at your tables, and if you're online, at home, in your discussion, that maybe you'll add some to these. Maybe you'll say, hey, there's some other ways, some other benefits, there's some other blessings of togetherness that I missed. And I hope that you find some of those and add some of those to your list. So let me find my handy-dandy clicker here so we can move through the slides. So the first one I want to start off with is this one. This because it's the linchpin of all of the others, right? It's the overarching reason why we're better together and how we're better together. So we're better together because when we are practicing togetherness as a married couple, we are living within God's design. And there is no better place to be living than within God's will, within his design for a marriage, right? Genesis 2:24 that we're all familiar with, right? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's a classic verse, the idea of them becoming one flesh as husband and wife. But it says, for this reason. What was the reason? The reason was that God looked at Adam after he created everything. He looks at Adam and he says, right, everything else was good except for Adam's aloneness. His aloneness was not good. It's not good that the man should be alone. Therefore, God remedied that with Eve, with this idea of marriage and the two becoming one flesh. And if you remember about, you know, it's got to be a year and a half, 2 years ago, we did a series called The Meeting of the Waters. And the very first part of that series, we pulled apart Genesis 2:24, and we looked at a couple of words in Hebrew, and we talked about the idea that, you know, the English language has many, many words, many more words than the Hebrew language, and that so we have individual words for all kinds of things. And when words in Hebrew, oftentimes, they have multiple layers of meaning to them. Not different meanings, but layers and layers of meaning. And so what we did back then, and you can go back and look at this, those talks are online, we took those words, a couple of those Hebrew words, and then we kind of amplified them. We blew them up and then put them back in the verse. And what we came up with was the Myers Amplified version. And that's what I want to put on the screen for you. This is it's not an official version. So this is the MAV. And here's what it says. It says, because it is God's original loving desire and design, right? That's the for this reason. A man shall leave his father and his mother and pursue, overtake, and hold fast to his wife and she to her husband. That is that the meaning of the word to be joined to, that word that's used in the Hebrew that we translate be joined to or cleave to. That word, in all of its fullness, is pursue, overtake, and hold fast. So it's a much, you know, that gives you a much more well-rounded, richer meaning of what the passage is trying to communicate there. And she to her husband, and they shall, right? So this is a definitive statement, that not they might, they could possibly, they shall, through a sometimes painful process, willed and empowered by God, become united and integrated into one flesh. So united, the word one, they shall become one flesh. The word one in English, right, just means one, as in one, right? We don't have a lot of other, but in the Hebrew, that word is the idea of being united, being integrated. And so if you read the whole thing together, because it's God's original loving desire and design, a man shall leave his father and his mother and pursue, overtake, and hold fast to his wife and she to her husband, and they shall, through a sometimes painful process, willed and empowered by God, become united and integrated into one flesh. So we're better together because that's God's design for us. When we live within the will of God, that is the very best place to be. And everything else that we're going to talk about hinges on that idea. So how else are we better together? We're better together because we complement one another, right? Not we complement one another, although we should do that. And anyone that wants to, Tracy, if you want to compliment me, I'm all about that. Go for it. But we complement one another. If we look at Ecclesiastes 4:9, right? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If you guys remember, if you were here when we did the annual maintenance check and we started off doing an assessment, something called a Symbis assessment that we do with premarital counseling, but also sometimes marriage counseling, and we did that assessment. And the assessment kind of shows you your personality type, the way that you approach conflict, the way that you approach money, the way that you approach all of these different aspects of life, and so that you could see you and your spouse next to each other and your differences. And it's very enlightening if you've not done it. It's fascinating. So, I'm a spender in our relationship. Patricia is a saver. Patricia is the fact-based, efficient, logical one, right? She's got her feet firmly planted on the ground. I, on the other hand, am sort of the optimistic, big picture, verbal processor, right? I'm sort of up here looking out over the horizon, and she's looking at what's right in front of us. But those two things together, when oriented correctly, are better than either one of those things alone. So we complement one another. So discovering the ways that we complement one another, and then arranging our relationship and orienting ourselves to one another in such a way that those things are taken advantage of to their maximum, right? That is a big part of the art of marriage is being able to figure out how are we taking advantage of one another's strengths, right? How am I celebrating my spouse's strengths and then backstopping their weaknesses with my strengths, right? We complement one another, and that is one of the reasons why we're better together than alone. We also sharpen one another, right? Now, the passage I want to put up here is Proverbs 27:17, and most of the time you hear this passage at, like, men's retreats, right? Because it sounds manly and sharpening iron and, right, makes you think military or something. But really, this is just saying, if you take the word man out of there and say person, right, it applies, obviously applies to relationships between Christian men. It applies in relationships between Christian women. And I would say that it applies even maybe more acutely in the relationship between a husband and a wife. We refine each other. Our marriage is uniquely positioned to refine our character. Right? We talk about the two most refining or sanctifying relationships that you'll have in your lifetime are the marriage relationship and then the parent-child relationship. Right? Once you have children, that's super refining. That takes it up another notch. But the marriage relationship and being together in marriage is a unique environment or training ground for the fruit of the Spirit. To practice Jesus' command, like we talked about in the last few weeks, that right, the law of Christ, which is to bear one another's burdens, to love as Jesus loved us, the marriage relationship is the best place, the most difficult place, and the best place to practice that, to train those things and all of the different aspects of what does it mean to love as Jesus loved us. It means bearing burdens, it means praying, it means forgiving, exhorting, encouraging, all of those things. Within the marriage relationship is again, it's a unique place for us to act out the varied expressions of the command to love. So we're better together because we sharpen, we refine one another in marriage. We're also better together because we can care for one another and protect one another in marriage. Right? That's one of the other sort of in God's design for our marriage, is that these two people that are joined in a covenant will have each other's back, right? They will be caring for one another, looking out for the best interests of the other. When we stood in front of, a church or at a barn or wherever it happened to be on the first hole of a golf course, right? And we said those vows, right? Richer, poorer, sickness, health, better, worse, right? We, looking back at it, a lot of us would have liked to have put some other things in there, right? Washing the dishes, taking out the trash, always agreeing with me, something like that. But it's in that relationship that we're able to really care for one another in a way that no one else can. Because that is the person that we're most intimate with on a spiritual level, a physical level, and an emotional level. Right, Ecclesiastes, going back to Ecclesiastes 4, the next couple of verses there, 10 through 12. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. And again, that's for later on when we get to the intimacy stuff in the spring. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So together, we are God's instruments of care for one another, right? And spiritually, emotionally, physically, and it's where we live out those one another's in a practical way together. So we've got one another's back. If there's anyone in this world that's going to have your back, that's going to be your cheerleader, that's going to be the person that is an encourager and loves you and cares for you without any preconditions on that, it should be in this relationship. This should be the safest relationship that you have. So we love, we are better together because we care for one another. And then finally, I'd say that we're better together because together we're more able, to connect our hearts to the heart of the Father together. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a second. So Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and with all your strength, right? Jesus responding to the question, what's the greatest command? And when we look at that, I know that it's, you know, if you're interpreting that passage, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to dissect, you know, you can dissect a human being into those four parts. That's not what Jesus is saying. Really, what the word means by that is with your entire being, with everything that you are, everything that you have, you should love the Lord your God. However, we can look at our individual makeup and the wiring for each of us. And spiritually, we're wired with certain a certain love language, so to speak, towards God, like a spiritual love language. To give you an example, I love scripture. I love theology. I love, you know, digging deeper with my mind to understand the word, right? And to then, you know, write about it, teach about it. Like, that's my jam. Like, that's me. That's, I'm connecting with the heart of the Father that way, and it's how I feel most connected to God. Patricia, on the other hand, right, she feels connected to the heart of God in worship, in song, or in private prayer. That's her love language. She's loving God with all of her heart and her soul. But we stretch together, we stretch and challenge one another in that. So that I'm drawn more into worship and song, I'm drawn more into loving God with my heart and my soul, and she's drawn, as we study the word together, she's drawn more into loving God with her mind. And I've seen that play out with a lot of other couples. I know another couple of good friends of ours that go here, Dave and Leanne Kendall, that you guys probably know, some of you might know. David's like me, right? He's a love God with your mind guy, right? He's all about, you know, the scriptures, all about theology, doctrine. Like, that really draws him in to communion with God, whereas Leanne is all about serving the poor, you know, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, right? That's her, how she feels most drawn to God and most close to the heart of the Father. But the two of them, to see over the years of their marriage, how the two of them have challenged one another, drawn one another towards, you know, into that love language together, has been amazing to see how much more beautiful and sort of well-rounded their communion with the Father is because of that. So we're better together because together we're combining those love languages, ways that we connect with the Father in a way that's more rich for both of us. So we are better together, right? We're better together when we're connected to one another spiritually, physically, emotionally. And I want to put those up, the ones that we just went through on the screen here, real quick, one after the other. So we are better together because we are living within God's design, we complement one another, we sharpen one another, we care for and protect one another, and we are more fully able to connect to our hearts to the Father together. We're going to go into a time of table discussion. It's going to be a little longer today, hopefully. And on your tables, I'm not going to put them up on the screen, but on your tables, there are, there's a sheet like this. There should be one for each couple that have the questions on them. And you can take these home and continue to have the discussion later on if you'd like. And those of you that are online, I will just post these into the chat for you guys. But let me do this. And this is always dangerous for a speaker after making an argument, right? Can we stipulate from this point forward, we've got 3 weeks in this subject, can we stipulate from this point forward that in fact we are better together? Can I get does everybody agree that this is in fact a truth? If I convinced you? Looking at nodding heads. Okay, I'm not going to make anyone raise hands. If you have doubts, okay, we can talk about that later. So in the next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack each week. I want to unpack a key to cultivating and maintaining that togetherness over the long haul. Because I got to tell you that one of the things that Patricia and I like to, when we're out, you know, grabbing dinner or we're out somewhere with a couple that's been married for, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years, is to ask them the question, so what is it that you two like to do together? What do you like to do together? And it seems like it's, you know, kind of a superficial question, but it's not really. And you would be surprised how many blank stares we get back at us. And it always opens up, when you get the blank stare, then it always ends up opening up a conversation about, you know, why they have drifted from togetherness away from togetherness. You know, and there's all sorts of reasons. It's, you know, we were so focused on the kids, we lost view of each other. Or I was so focused on my work and she was so focused on the kids that we lost view of each other. For whatever the reason is, the tendency that we have, if we're not careful, if we don't actively cultivate it, is that the tendency is to drift. The tendency is not to do this. You really have to be intentional about maintaining your togetherness. So that's what we want to talk about as we go on through the rest of this series, is sort of keys to doing that. So I hope you'll all be back for that. Why don't I pray, and then we can jump into discussion, and I'll get the discussion questions up for our folks that are online. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for marriage, first of all. Thank you, Lord, that you looked at our aloneness and you declared that it wasn't good, and then you remedied it. We thank you for that, for your goodness, for the good gift of our spouse to us. Father, your word says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and that is so true. And I believe the same is true for the woman who finds a husband. And so, Father, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you, Father, that it's your will and your desire that we be one. Lord, help us to have wisdom and perseverance in this process of becoming one and maintaining our togetherness over the long haul, Lord, because we know that it'll bless your heart. We know that it'll bless us, but also, Father, that it'll be a blessing to our children, to our grandchildren, to our community. And so, Father, we do ask that you fill us with your spirit of wisdom and understanding and perseverance in this walk. And we'll give you all the glory for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.